Welcome to the summer broadcast of Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Radio at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, coming to you from deep within the dog days of summer. Tonight's opening music was brought to us courtesy of some talented echolocators, the beluga whale, the narwhal, and those denizens of summer, brown bats. Echolocation is a show that is broadcast seasonally on WGXC. Each broadcast of Echolocation features an exploration of the science of bioacoustics and the creativity of environmental art, especially the interpretation and use of natural acoustics in sound art and musical composition. The show dwells at the junction between art, science, and natural sound, and features explorations of the fields of bioacoustics, deep listening, and acoustic ecology. I am learning about this topic, but I am not an expert. The radio show will be a process of discovery for me, and hopefully for you. You can listen to past shows on the archives at wavefarm.org and follow the show on Facebook at Echolocation WGXC. Tonight's broadcast will feature an exploration of waves, the science of bioacoustics, a band called The Dolphins, the recording by Hildegard Westerkamp called Kits Beach Soundwalk from 1989, and other cool stuff. In the second hour, we'll explore a project that Hildegard Westerkamp is currently involved with, which is called Audio Postcards Canada. We'll also listen to some homegrown sound art with the WGXC Radio from the Field workshops that took place this summer. Thanks for joining me on this sonic journey. I hope you enjoy the ride as much as I do. That was a band called The Dolphins with a song entitled Mission. Well, August is the time when some of us escape to the seaside to catch the water waves, and some of us look up at night to enjoy the Perseid meteor showers and catch the light waves of shooting stars. I learned just the other day that you can also catch the sound waves of the meteor showers. There's actually a website called livemeteors.com where you can listen for the results of a meteor entering the Earth's atmosphere. And we're listening to the live feed from livemeteors.com right now. The website explains the phenomenon like this. When a meteor enters the Earth's atmosphere, it excites the air molecules, producing a streak of light and leaving a trail of ionization behind it tens of kilometers long. This ionized trail may persist for less than 1 second or up to several minutes occasionally. Occurring at heights of about 85 to 105 kilometers, which is 50 to 65 miles up, this trail is capable of reflecting radio waves from transmitters located on the ground, similar to light reflecting from a mirrored surface. Meteor radio wave reflections are also called meteor echoes or pings. So let's listen a moment for some more pings. So I invite you to join me as we surf the cresting waves of summer, because tonight we'll keep cool by taking a deep dive into the world of waves, be they made of light, sound, or water. After all, waves, no matter what substance they travel through, are simply the movement of energetic particles. A wave can be described as a repeated and periodic disturbance that travels through a medium from one location to another. Although they move through matter, be it solid or liquid or gaseous form, waves transport energy, not matter. Waves move in crests and troughs, and a wavelength is the measurement between crests. A greater length between crests is a longer wavelength, and a shorter wavelength has a smaller distance between crests. Electromagnetic waves are the motion of electrically charged particles called photons, the energy of light. The electromagnetic spectrum is a continuum of wavelengths running from the long, low-frequency radio waves, like the waves that some of you are receiving to hear this broadcast, to short, high-frequency, high-energy gamma rays, like the waves from neutron stars, pulsars, black holes, lightning, and nuclear explosions. Light waves are in the middle of the spectrum and range from infrared to a narrow band of visible light to ultraviolet radiation. Light waves are the movement of photons from the sun through the atmosphere. Ocean waves are simply the movement of energy through water. Sound waves are vibrations of energy that move through matter and can be heard. A movement, like the plucking of a guitar string or the snapping of a rubber band, causes a vibration of molecules that spread, causing the sound to travel. Sound must travel through matter, which gives voice to the vibration. Different types of matter transmit sound differently. For example, sound travels faster and farther in water than in air. Waves are everywhere and affecting us all the time. Without light waves, plants wouldn't have the energy for photosynthesis, and we wouldn't be here to listen to the wondrous assemblage of sound that surrounds us. Thank you. that was the Dolphins from the album From Pickerel to Flipper. The track is titled Dolphins. I'd like to share a new segment called Ears to the Ground, where I play local soundscapes. In tonight's Ears to the Ground, I'll compare the typical summer soundscape at my home here in Hanacroy, New York, with what it sounded like here during our spring broadcast back in May. So here's the dawn chorus in May, which consists of a variety of birds. Here's the dawn chorus in mid-August, much quieter as you will hear. The migratory birds are already on their way to their southern homes. And then evening sounds. Tonight you're hearing the August evening cacophony of insects. And tonight we hear crickets and katydids, which seem to repeat over and over. Katydid, katydidn't, katydid, katydidn't, katydid, katydidn't. And now we'll hear the May evening chorus, which is almost entirely amorous frogs. So I encourage you to submit your own homegrown sounds for air broadcast on Ears to the Ground. And you can send MP3s of your recording to echolocation@yahoo.com. And tonight we have a really special treat because in the second hour of the show, I'm going to share some recordings produced by the Radio From the Fields workshops that Max Goldfarb, who's the mobile studio manager for WGXC, held this summer in Columbia County. So stay tuned for sound art made by your neighbors in the second half of the show. And we'll just pause for a moment now to listen for some cicadas. Cicadas are an insect that we hear in the warmth of summer days. They make a buzzing sound that is really characteristic of August in the Northeast. You can hear one softly singing in the background, and we'll listen for a moment to see if we get a more intense sound of cicadas. I recently learned that you can identify different species of cicada by their song. So just like you can learn bird songs and identify birds from the sounds that they make, you can do the same with cicadas. And that's super cool because some species of cicada actually live underneath the ground for 13 years, others for 17 years, and then emerge en masse and become adults. Others emerge annually and are heard every year, but they're a pretty cool little insect that spends part of its life cycle subterranean and second part flying through air and making our summertime sounds.
The rain and the wind don't matter much when I'm surfing by myself. The clock on the wall don't mean much at all when I'm surfing by myself. I've got no thoughts, no thoughts at all when I'm surfing by myself. I've got no thoughts, no thoughts at all when I'm surfing by myself.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Radio at wavefarm.org. That mysterious Western music must mean it's time for the Echolocator Profile. Each broadcast, we feature a different type of animal that uses echolocation, which is a way for animals to see at night or in murky water. The animal emits a sound and listens for its echo off of objects to navigate or locate prey. And since tonight's show is called Catch the Wave, I thought we should highlight an underwater creature. And since we're so near the Hudson River estuary, I decided to learn more about the river dolphin. When I think of underwater sound, the first thing that comes to mind is the haunting calls of animals like the right whale that we're hearing now. But the toothed whales, or odontocetes, are the ones that use high-frequency clicks to echolocate prey and to navigate in dark water. Species of toothed whale include the bottlenose dolphins, beluga whales, killer whales, and narwhals, among others. Listen to that narwhal for a while. Most toothed whales are small, and they are believed to be some of the most intelligent animals on Earth. They use echolocation mainly for navigation and hunting, and this sense is extremely sensitive. When they echolocate, the sound is emitted from the head region, and it is focused by an organ called the melon. The melon is a fatty area at the front of the skull, and any creature with a melon will have a large depression on their forehead. The melon focuses the echolocation clicks, but scientists do not agree how the clicks are made. Some think that the sound is emitted from a nasal plug, and that the shape of the melon is altered by muscles to focus the sound. Other scientists believe that the larynx emits the sound. Most dolphin species produce two types of sounds. Clicking, thought to be used primarily for navigation and identifying prey, and whistles, which are thought to be used for communication. When the echo of emitted sound returns to the toothed whale, it is received through special sound-conducting tissue that stimulates the inner ear. Instead of sound passing through the outer ear, river dolphins receive sound through the throat, from which it passes through a fat-filled cavity to the inner ear. There's a lot of fat involved in echolocation, as it turns out. And the adaptation of the dolphin to hear echolocation clicks in its inner ear is much older than previously thought. A paper published in the journal Current Biology earlier this month reports on findings discovered from examining the 27 million year old fossil of an ancient species of whale that was an echolocator. And scientists examined the inner ear from the species, which they nicknamed the Echo Hunter, and found that it could hear sounds too high-pitched for humans to perceive. Like modern-day toothed whales, this species had ultrasonic hearing. But I digress. On to our echolocator profile, which is about the river dolphin. Well, unfortunately, the Hudson does not have a population of river dolphins, as their range is limited to estuaries in South Asia, China, and South America. There are three species of freshwater river dolphins: the Indus and the Ganges river dolphin, the Amazon river dolphin, and in China, the Yangtze river dolphin. River dolphins are small. They're 5 to 8 feet long, and they live in muddy river estuaries. And they are considered to be primitive dolphins with slender beaks and pronounced forehead melons and the undeveloped dorsal fins of early dolphins. So maybe they look a lot like the Echo Hunter, the 27 million year old species. They have small eyes and they see poorly, but their use of echolocation is so well developed that they can survive even if they are completely blind. And they're very a mysterious creature. Not much is known about them because they are elusive, but they are well known in mystical lore of local cultures. In China, they're called the goddess of the Yangtze, and they protect fishermen and boaters. The Amazon River dolphin, called the Boto, is very prevalent in native mythology, and it's thought to be a shapeshifter, known to morph into human form. Botos have superior musical ability and enjoy the nightlife, but they always wear a hat to disguise their blowhole, because even though they've morphed into human form, they still have a blowhole on the top of their head to breathe. So too bad I couldn't come up with a musical interlude performed by Botos. That would be awesome. Tragically, all river dolphins face a myriad of threats from human disturbance, from migration barriers posed by dams, to habitat loss due to development, to bycatch and fishing nets, boat traffic, accidents, and water pollution, to name a few. River dolphins are rapidly disappearing, and the Chinese river dolphin was declared functionally extinct in 2006. The Ganges and Indus river populations are endangered, and the Amazon river dolphins have the highest populations of all, but are considered vulnerable in portions of their range. If conservation efforts are not successful, the sound of river dolphins will grow increasingly rare. And the only sound of a river dolphin that I could find for you tonight was from the Macaulay Library, but it's the sound of the river dolphin breathing through its blowhole. So it's using that blowhole perhaps before it's getting ready to shapeshift into a human. But there is some hope for conservation of the Ganges River dolphin. A team of Japanese and Indian sonar engineers led by Harumi Sugimatsu, they are deploying hydrophones, an experimental sonar monitoring system. And the sonar monitoring is intended to provide a greater understanding of the behavior and geography of the range of this elusive dolphin. So that's one example out of so many of scientists using hydrophones to record the bioacoustics of species to learn more in hopes of conserving them. And you can read the whole article about the Ganges River Dolphin Project by visiting the Echolocation Facebook page at facebook.com/echolocationWGXC. A complete listing of websites referenced in this echolocator profile and all of the stories that you hear on echolocation can be found at the Facebook page. But for this article, special thanks to NOAA, Wikipedia, the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineers, World Wildlife Fund for content, and to the Macaulay Library at Cornell University for the bioacoustics recordings. The Dolphins, from the album Happy Being Slippery, the track is titled Dolphins. Well, there's so many exciting developments and so much interesting research going on in the world of bioacoustics and soundscape studies that I thought I'd start a segment called News from the Sounding Board that will feature recent discoveries, research, or events about the world of sound. And the first article I want to share with you is from the University of Liverpool. It was published in June 2016. And the title is Caribbean Sea Acts Like a Whistle That Can Be Heard from Space. And researchers at the University of Liverpool have found that the Caribbean Sea behaves like a whistle. And it occurs when ocean current flowing through the Caribbean becomes unstable and excites a resonance of a rather strange kind of wave called a Rossby wave. This causes an exchange of water with the rest of the ocean, which allows us to hear the resonance using gravity measurements. And scientists believe that the Rossby whistle may have an impact on the entire North Atlantic as it regulates the flow of the Caribbean current, which is a precursor to the Gulf Stream, and the Gulf Stream is an important cog in the ocean's climate engine. So the Rossby whistle can be heard from space, which is pretty awesome. The second article I want to share with you is from a website called Earthables, and it's about a sculpture in Croatia that is strategically placed so that the wind and water energy from the Adriatic Sea plays the sculpture like an organ. An architect by the name of Nikola Basic installed the sea organ in 2005, which looks like a series of steps and is designed so that water enters a series of holes into echo chambers. And visitors can actually sit on the steps and listen to the haunting sounds of the sea waves playing the organ. And if you visit the Echolocation Facebook page, you can watch a video of this sea organ. I definitely want to visit that sometime. From the website Live Science, an article that was posted by journalist Stephanie Pappas on August 9th reports on recent research that suggests that mother dolphins repeat their signature whistle with increasing frequency right before the birth of their young and directly after birth. And signature whistles are used by dolphins to identify each other. And the researchers hypothesize that the mother dolphin is teaching the calf how to identify her in murky waters. And interestingly, they found that other dolphins remain quiet for the first few weeks after the birth of the calf, while the mother dolphin is frequently repeating her own signature whistle. But they begin to produce their own whistles at more frequent rate after the calf has presumably learned its mother's whistle. And that article also is on the Facebook page. From Cisco Technology News website feature back in April, a backpack has been designed to allow deaf children to feel the vibration of humpback whale songs. The article describes how 24 students from the National School for the Deaf in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, went out on a whale-watching boat that was equipped with a hydrophone affixed to its hull. The hydrophone transmitted the whale songs to a backpack that translated them into vibrations which could be felt by the students. The backpacks consisted of a sub-pack unit which features high-fidelity tactile bass system that transfers sound frequencies to the body. That is so cool. And the project was a collaboration between the School for the Deaf and the Muse Seek project, which seeks to break barriers between music and deaf children. And from the Associated Press, Frank Eltman reported in July 2016 that scientists from the Wildlife Conservation Society's Ocean Giants program are collaborating with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts to deploy a buoy 22 miles off the coast of New York's Fire Island to listen for whales. And the purpose of this study is to better understand whales' movements in an effort to safeguard them in an area near two busy shipping lanes in the New York Harbor. The buoy is located in the New York Bight, which features busy shipping, but is also home to seven species of great whales, including the humpback and the right whale. And the buoy transmits data in real time and is similar to buoys deployed by the Cornell Bioacoustics Research Program in Boston Harbor. And in a related story written by Richard Schiffman that ran in the New York Times on July 7th, explains that the data from the buoy will be updated on digital maps and recorded on a web page devoted to the project so that New Yorkers can learn about whales in their neighborhood in real time. So again, check the Facebook page for links to all the articles that I have shared with you on News from the Sounding Board. And the Facebook page is Facebook / Echolocation WGXC. This is a track called Dream of the Dolphins. I'd like to thank Hildegard Westerkamp for permission to play Kits Beach Soundwalk. And if you enjoy what you're hearing, the piece is available on CD by visiting www.electrocd.com/en/cat/imed1031.
It's a calm morning. I'm on Kits Beach in Vancouver. It's slightly overcast and very mild for January. It's absolutely wind still. The ocean is flat, just a bit rippled in places. Ducks are quietly floating on the water. I'm standing among some large rocks full of barnacles and seaweed. The water moves calmly through crevices. The barnacles put out their fingers to feed on the water. The tiny clicking sounds that you hear are the meeting of the water and the barnacles. It trickles and clicks and sucks. The city is roaring around these tiny sounds, but it's not masking them. I could shock you or fool you by saying that the soundscape is this loud. But it is more like this. The view is beautiful. In fact, it is spectacular. So the sound level seems more like this. It doesn't seem that loud. But I'm trying to listen to those tiny sounds in more detail now. Suddenly, the background sound of the city seems louder again. It interferes with my listening. It occupies all acoustic space, and I can't hear the barnacles in all their tininess. It seems too much effort to filter the city out. Luckily, we have bandpass filters and equalizers. We can just go into the studio and get rid of the city. Pretend it's not there. Pretend we are somewhere far away. These are the tiny, the intimate voices of nature, of bodies, of dreams, of the imagination. You're still hearing the barnacle sounds, and already they're changing. Alfred Tomatis says that high frequencies charge our brain and give us energy. I often hear these tiny sounds in my dreams. Those are the healing dreams. In one dream, women living in an ancient mountain village were weaving the most beautiful silken fabric. It sounded like a million tiny voices, whispering, swishing, clicking, sizzling. In another dream, when I entered a stone cottage, I entered a soundscape made by four generations of a peasant family sitting around a large wooden table, eating and talking. Smacking and clicking and sucking and spitting and telling and biting and singing and laughing and weeping and kissing and gurgling and whispering. In another dream, I heard bullets tinkling, bouncing like tiny marbles. A man was pursuing me with a gun. I was frightened. But the bullets tinkled. Metallic, tiny, seductive semen tinkling all around me. Like in Xenakis Concrete PH2, made from the sounds of the discharge of smoldering charcoal, tinkling all over the Brussels pavilion, like needles darting from everywhere, as Xenakis says. You can hear excerpts of that piece right now. In another dream, sitting in the car with a woman friend, I heard sounds of glass blinking and tinkling, sparkling. On the car radio, they announced that it was Mozart, the way Tomates wants us to hear Mozart, tinkling and sparkling. These were the healing dreams, energizing. As soon as I make space to hear sounds like this, or to dream them, then I feel the strength to face the city again, or even to be playful with it. Play with a monster, then I can face the monster.